Okay. Open up in your Bibles to 2 John. 2 John. 2 John verse 4. It says, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth as we have received a commandment from the Father. So there's a commandment. There's a New Testament commandment that we got to walk in truth. Now, here's the thing. Every Christian needs to get this through their head. You absolutely have to believe what you read and not read what you believe. See, there's a lot of people that run around reading what they believe, which they'll make that line up with their doctrine. The doctrine that they've been taught at church or at home or their particular denominational doctrines, you know, that there are certain chapters they won't read or certain verses that they won't read and believe. But that's just not what we've been told to do. At some point, we have to separate what we have learned with our five natural senses. You know, there's things that we've learned in the natural that may be natural facts, but they don't line up with the truth of the Word of God. We have to take things that we've heard, things that we've been taught, things that maybe are absolute doctrines in certain denominations, and we have to take all of that and lay it out on the table, lay it out bare, and match it up with what the Word of God says. And if it doesn't line up with what God says, we got to get rid of it. Just get rid of it and go on with what God says. What God says is the truth. And truth always outweighs the facts. Always. There's no getting around that. See, we don't want to be led by the wisdom of the world. We want to be led by the wisdom of God. And sometimes there's things that we've been taught all our life that are contrary to what God says. You know, science and medicine have came up with these deals where they find some creepy attack on your body, and they'll say from their natural experiences, what they've studied and what they've experienced with their natural senses, they say a person with this disease has 6 months to live. You don't find that in the Word of God. In fact, the Bible says, with a long life will he satisfy you and show you his salvation. And that's different than what the Bible, than what the doctor may say, isn't it? The world may say, to save and hoard and store up and stash away as much as you can. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, give freely. It says, you know, give all over the place. He shows all kinds of places you can give. So cast your bread on the water. Keep casting it out there. And after many days, that bread is going to come back. That's not what the world teaches you. Look at John chapter 14. Verse 6, and we're going to see some things about Jesus, how he describes himself. John chapter 14, verse 6 says, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now look at John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now go down to verse 14. It says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now go over to John chapter 8, verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in My word, then are you My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, here's the thing. Jesus reveals Himself as the Word, the truth, and the life, and tells us there is freedom in Him. Our freedom is in Him. He is the Word. He is the truth. There's a lot of things that we get told that are not true, but if we go to Jesus, He is true. His Word is true. You know, in fact, God said that He holds His Word above His own name. That's a pretty high estimation of your Word, isn't it? Not one word of God will fail. His word is the truth. So, here's the thing. When we learn something, we match it up with the Word of God and we find out if it's the truth. One thing about this world that we live in is we get bombarded with information. Have you noticed that? There's just wave after wave after wave of information. There's one thing right after another. And if you've noticed, the news cycles are full of sensationalism. And what they want to do is strike an emotion in people. They want to get you to react to something that they say. You know, and part of the deal that I tell people, when something happens, just stop. Just stop. Don't make a decision right away. Just wait for a little bit. Let the truth work itself out. The truth will come to the surface. You know, after 9/11, everybody's blood was boiling. You remember that? We had to find somebody to blame and hold them accountable. So all of a sudden we had somebody show up and said, hey, these guys in Iraq, they have weapons of mass destruction. We got to go take them out. So we sent, I don't know how many billions of dollars worth of ammunition over there and troops. I don't know how many lives we ruined. I don't know how many people got destroyed. But we went over there and just annihilated that place and took it over. And we found no weapons of mass destruction. What happened? We reacted to the first thing we saw. And then look what happened. We just caused a mess. Always wait for just a little bit. Let the truth come to the surface. It will come to the surface. This was one lesson that I learned, and I practiced on it. And racism is a pretty hot topic in some places. Well, one time I had three truck drivers out in the field. And all of a sudden, I knew there was something wrong, there was something bad, and I finally got a hold of the one, and I told him to come in, and my box happened to be there. And he came there, and he told his side of the story, and I said, well, go home and get some rest, relax. And my boss said, we will not have any racism in this place. I said, well, just wait a minute. There's another guy. So I called the other guy in. He came in, told his side of the story, and it's completely different. And I said, we need to just wait just a minute. And my boss was mad. He took off. Well, there was one more guy. And I called him in. And I said, because he was not an involved party in this fight. I said, what happened out there? And he told me, and his side of the story was different than both of those guys. Here's the thing. There's always three sides to the story. There's one side, there's another side, and there's a side that nobody's telling. That's why we need to just wait for just a little bit and find out what the truth is. One thing about waiting on Jesus is he will lead you to the truth in everything. So, just look at John chapter 4, verse 23. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So how will we as true worshipers worship Jesus and God of heaven, our Father, in spirit and in truth? How do we do that? Number one, we find out what the Word says. Get a revelation of the Word. You know, when you look at His Word, say you run across the Scripture and it strikes you for some reason, that's the Holy Spirit trying to get you to look at that word. So look at that and study it and read it and go over it and over it and over it and over it again, and pretty soon you'll get a revelation of it. Here's a nifty little deal about our Bibles. I hope that you write in your Bibles, underline stuff in your Bibles. They should look like coloring books. If you got one that's so holy that you can't write in it, take that Bible and put it under a glass case and go get you one that you can write in. And color in. And here's the thing. We underline stuff in our Bibles all the time. When we're in church service, we'll underline something. Maybe the preacher will say something, or maybe you'll see something while you're reading along with the preacher, and all of a sudden you'll get that strike and you'll write it, you'll underline it. But here's the habit that we have. We get out of church and we go home and we got to cook lunch, or we got to get lunch, or, you know, we got the roast in the oven or whatever. And we eat lunch and then we get busy. You know, there's Sunday afternoon football or baseball or whatever it is that catches our attention. So we go on to doing something like that. And then next thing you know, it's Monday morning. It's time to go to work. And we go to work. You know, and then we go through the week. And then we get to church again on Sunday. And we start underlining something else. And then we go through a course of a year like that. We got stuff underlined all over the Bible. But we don't have any revelation of it. You know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So one thing that we need to do, and it'd be a really good practice, is go back every once in a while and just read the stuff that you got underlined. Go back and look at that. Go back and study it. Find out why is it that the Holy Spirit led you to underline that verse in the Bible. Maybe he wants you to learn something from that spot. Go back and go over it. Make it a point to look at it and meditate on it and look at it again and look at it and look at it and read it and study it. Maybe he wants you to get a revelation of that. And then when you do get that revelation of it, you got it, you own it. It's yours. It's part of you. Nobody can take that away from you. One thing that is taught in the Bible is sometimes the sower sows the word and these birds come immediately to get those seeds. See, Satan will come immediately to try to steal that seed. Because he knows that if that seed gets in your heart and gets rooted in there, it's going to produce fruit. And it's going to damage his kingdom. So he's going to do everything he can do to stop you from getting a revelation of whatever God said to you in that Bible. It's important to underline stuff in your Bible when it strikes a chord in you. But it's just as important to go back and get that seed in you. Make sure that the devil doesn't get you distracted. Make sure that he doesn't get you pointed off into some other project. But make sure you go back and get that seed in your heart. Holy Spirit got you to underline it so you don't lose it. Go back and get it. Get it in your heart. It'll take a little bit. I don't know if you've noticed that there's any distractions in this world. We're bombarded with distractions. We're bombarded with choices. We're bombarded with all these things that try to get your focus off of the Word of God. And here's the interesting thing I learned about these lion tamers in the circus. You know, a lion, he could just go eat that man just for a snack at any given time. But this lion gets up on this stool, and this lion tamer has this other stool in his hand. And he points it at this lion. Now, that lion could hit that wooden stool and smash it into 100 pieces. And he's got this whip. Well, what happens is he puts these 4 points of distraction in this other point of distraction with noise out in front of this lion, and it keeps this lion sitting down. And the lion is so distracted with all these moving parts that he's basically rendered harmless. He could maul this guy without any effort. But he's so distracted. See, the devil knows what happened to Peter when he jumped out of that boat. Peter was walking on water, and he, as long as Peter was focused on Jesus, as long as he was looking at him, he walked on water. But the minute he got his eyes off of Jesus, which we found out is the Word, the minute he got his eyes off of Jesus and started looking at the wind and the waves, he started sinking. I don't know anything about walking on water, but I don't know what wind and waves have to do with walking on water. But they're distractions. See, we got a lot of distractions to deal with in this life. You know, may have kids, have jobs, have ambitions, have goals. You know, the minute you walk out that door, there's distractions. So to stay focused on the Word, which is to stay focused on Jesus, is going to take some effort. One of the things that we'll have to do and learn how to control our tongue. This is a challenge. I'm telling you. It is a challenge. And I'm not just talking about slipping a cuss word out there once in a while. I'm talking about not cursing yourself, not cursing your job, not cursing your life, not cursing things around you by speaking negatively about it. Now, you notice these nifty little songs that they got on the radio? When I first learned about trying to control my tongue and starting to speak blessings over my life and over my job and over my finances and all this stuff and trying to talk right, I was out in the oil field and I'd get out there and I'd get busy and then I would you know, I'd be focused on the word and it would go really good for like the first 50 wells. And I had 500 wells and then pretty soon I'd be going and I'd notice I'd have the radio going. And pretty soon I'd be singing these stupid little songs. One of the most irritating songs I ever heard in my life had this little part in it where it said, if the devil danced in empty pockets, he'd have a ball in mine. And I'd catch myself singing that song. And I'd just stop and I'd turn the radio off and I said, no! But what happened? I got busy, got distracted, and I let my mind float. See, it does take some effort to keep your soul in check and keep your flesh under. Have you ever noticed you're always thinking about something? Always thinking about it. Your mind never shuts up. Your mind is always thinking about something. Just know this. Whenever you think you're just thinking, you're actually listening. See, the devil has access to your soul. He has no access to your spirit, but he does have access to your soul, which is your mind, will, and emotion. And he's going to try to get you to thinking about anything other than the Word of God. He's going to try to get you to thinking about anything other than how blessed you really are. He wants to get you to thinking about death and defeat and sickness, lack. He wants to get you to thinking about anything other than Jesus. He knows that if you get focused in on Jesus, which is the Word of God, he knows he's toast. Because he knows that eventually you're going to start getting revelation. You know, that's a light. And Jesus said, let your light so shine before men. And it's kind of funny. I've noticed this about people. I've witnessed the people before that weren't born again. And they had a dead, kind of a dead countenance to their skin. And after they got born again, after a few days, they started to glow. It was interesting. Why? Because that life of God got on the inside of them and changed their countenance. The Word does that. The Word will change your countenance. The Word causes your spirit to be quickened. It causes life to happen in you. I've seen people that were supposed to be dead within just a matter of a little bit get up and walk away. And it was the Word of God. The life of God got on the inside of them and changed things. When people get a revelation of who they are in God, it changes them. When they get a revelation of who God is in you, it really changes. When you get a revelation of what Jesus did for you in his death, burial, and resurrection, it sets you free. See, Jesus said you would know the truth and the truth would make you free. A lot of people might like to say that the truth will make you free. That's only partially true. It's the truth that you know. There's a lot of people have Bibles in their homes and they don't know anything about it. Maybe the only time that Bible gets opened up is when they have a wedding or a baptism or a funeral or they want to squish some flowers in the pages. And other than that, it just sits on the coffee table. They have the truth, but they're not any freer than they were when they got that Bible. It's a truth that you know. When you know the truth, then you're free. Free from what? Free from bondage. Free from bondage to sin. You're free from the bondage of the devil. You're free from the law. When you find out that you have been justified freely by His grace, that should make you stop looking over your shoulder wondering if God is going to punish you at some point for some sin that you did in the past. Because you've been justified, but you have to understand, in order for you to be justified, you have to first be judged. Once you find out that you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus because of what Jesus did, you're in right standing with God. I mean, you qualify for His blessings because of the blood of Jesus. Then you'll stop working so hard trying to be good enough. You'll now start being good enough because Jesus is in you. Amen. Let's look at Joshua chapter 1. Verse 8. You know, Joshua, he was an interesting guy. He had some big, big shoes to fill. And he didn't exactly have the best congregation to lead. His generation, all but him and Caleb, they all died in the desert because of doubt and unbelief. And now they had a whole new generation. And God brought them back to that place to go into the promised land. You've got to know that was fresh on Joshua's mind. Because God told Joshua he was one of the 12 spies. He told Joshua to go in there and spy out that land and come back and give a report. Him and Caleb came back and they gave a good report, said, man, we can take this land. It truly is a land filled with milk and honey. Yeah, there's giants there, but we can handle this. But the other 10 spies, they came back and they said, yeah, it's a land flowing with milk and honey and there's big grapes in there. But these giants, we saw ourselves as grasshoppers in their sight. And so we were. They had a little estimation of themselves and they had a little estimation of God. They seen the distractions. I suppose, you know, I've seen some pretty big guys, but I've never seen any giants. So it would take some focus. It would take some focus. But these guys, they seen these giants and these distractions got the better of them. And they said, we can't do this. I want you to know this. This is a spiritual truth. Whether you think you can or whether you think you can't, you're 100% right. So these guys didn't think they could because they didn't have a very high estimation of God. So they didn't go across. Now, 40 years later, God has them right back to the same spot. And I want you to notice, and I want you to notice that Moses is no longer there. He's no longer the leader. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, this is what God told him. He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. That's getting focused. When you're meditating on that word day and night, you're focused on Jesus. You're focused on the word. You know, it's hard to think about anything else when you're meditating scriptures. This is really neat. Maybe something happens, and your mind just starts racing, and you're going through all these scenarios about all these wrong things that could happen. The way to shut that thing up is to go to the Word. If for some reason you don't have something memorized where you can just let it out, then go to the Word and just read the Word. And watch how just reading the Word will shut your mind down and slow the chaos up and cause clarity to happen. It may take a little while, but it will happen. Then all of a sudden, now the storm around you isn't as bad as what it was a little bit ago when you're focused on Jesus. You're focused on Him. We're going to stop there because we're not going to get through the rest of this. But we'll stop there and we'll pick this up next Wednesday. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for your word. We thank you for teaching us how to get revelation out of your word. Father, we thank you for Holy Spirit who leads us and teaches us and shows us how to worship the Father in spirit and in truth as he shows us how to rightfully divide your word of truth. And we praise you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.